The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashas is Parashas Emor. In this week's Parashas, Perechov Gimel, Pasuk Tes.
Are the mitzvahs pertaining to the Omer and Sfiras HaEmer.
Since we are holding in the Sfiras HaEmer now,
and tonight is Lag BaEmer,
the 33rd day of the Emer, let's speak about this. Daber al bnei Yisrael v'mat aleihem, ki savoy al ha'oretz asher ani nesein lachem uktzatem es ktsiro v'aveisem es emer eishes ktsirchem alakoyim. Speak to the children of Israel and tell them that when you come into Eretz Yisrael, which I will give them, and you cut your harvest, and you bring the Omer, Eishes Kitzirchem, the first of your harvest, to the Kohen. And Omer is a measure, which the Torah tells us is Asiris Eifa, a tenth of an Eifa, and it was the amount of mon that each person received in the desert, which was enough to suffice for two meals. Those days they basically ate two meals, not like we do three meals. In other words, it was enough to suffice to sustain a person for a day. Today it's the equivalent of approximately 43 eggs, the Gemara tells us. This measure of your first crop, it's referring here to the barley crop, you should bring to Hashem on the day after Shabbos. This refers to the day after the first day of Pesach, the second day of Pesach, which according to the Torah is called Amoed. And together with this you should bring various korbonai sacrifices. And until you bring this measure of the barley crop, you're not allowed to eat any of the new crops. Ad haviyachem es korban alekechem uchukas haylam lederisecha b'chol meshvisecha. Until you bring this sacrifice. So none of the new wheat crops or the barley crops were allowed to be eaten until this was brought. And that is called Isr Chodosh. Usfatim lochem imachores haShabbos. And then from that day, the day after Shabbos, which refers to the day after the first day of Pesach, you shall count. From the time when you bring this Omer, 7 weeks, 7 complete weeks. You count the 7 full weeks, which is 49 days, and then, on the day after, which is the 50th day, you shall bring another new korban. Should be the first crop, and this is the first crop of the wheat. And you shall bring together also korbanei sacrifices with this. And then the Torah goes into more detail as to what the sacrifices should be. And on that day, that 50th day, you shall declare the Yantiv. That is the Yantiv of Chag HaShavuos. So this parasha that we just read, we have no less than 5 mitzvahs. Firstly, there's the mitzvah of Hakrovas Emer Min HaSa'orim, to bring from the first crop of the barley crop. The barley crop is a stronger crop, it's a more ruddier crop, and therefore it flourished even in the cold weather. So by the time Pesach came, which was the beginning of the springtime, the first crop of the barley was already ready to be cut. So the first mitzvah is to cut that barley and bring it to the Beis HaMikdash as a korban. And that was called Hakrovza Eimer, because Eimer is a measure, and this is the measure that you brought. The second mitzvah is that until you did that, you were not allowed to eat any velu krapshit. And this is the mitzvah of Iser Chodesh. The third mitzvah is from that time, you counted 7 weeks, 49 days. That's the mitzvah of Sefiras Eimer. Now this mitzvah we still have today. The fourth mitzvah is the Hakrova Shtei Alechem Min Achitin, that on the 50th day you brought to the Beis HaMikdash the first crop of the wheat. And the fifth mitzvah was on that 50th day you declared it to be a Yontif, and that's the Yontif of Shavuos. So, pertaining to the Sefiras HaEmer, the beginning of the Sefira, the end of the Sefira, between Pesach and Shavuos, we have five mitzvahs, which are mentioned in our parsha. A second extraordinary incident took place during this time, which the Gemara tells us in Masechta Yevamos. And Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis. Gemara speaking that a person, even though he gives birth to children in his youth, he should still give birth to children in his old age, because you never know what might happen to the children of the youth. King Solomon said that in the morning you shall plant your seed and you shall not rest either in the evening. Then the Mekiva said, if you study Torah in your youth, you should continue to study Torah in your old age. If you taught Torah in your youth, you shouldn't say that I've taught quite a bit of Torah now, and I have produced many, many good Talmidim, so now's the opportunity to retire. He said, "Oy lo Talmidim b'yaldusu yelai Talmidim b'ziknosav." That even in your old age also, you must continue to produce Talmidim, to produce students. And also he bases it on the same posuk. Now the Bekiva had a personal reason why to instruct us on this. The Gemara brings Omru Shnaim Oser Elef Zugim Talmidim Hayele Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva Sar Antiferes. Rabbi Kiva had 12,000 pairs of students, 24,000 students, which stretched out through the entire land. But Kulan Mesu Beperek Yechud. They all died during one period of time. Initially, no, I will call it Zenazer. This great tragedy of the death of 24,000 students of the great Rebbe Kivra, this took place because they did not conduct themselves properly to honor each other, since each was a great Talmud Chacham. But since they were all colleagues, they were all peers, so they honored those that were much greater than themselves. But their colleagues, they didn't honor them, each other. And this was a desecration of Kavanat Torah, since each one was a great Talmud Chacham. Because of this, a tremendous astronomical punishment came upon them, or a plague came, and they died. And the entire world was desolate from the light of Torah. All of Rabbi Kiva's work in his youth now was gone. So Rabbi Kiva in his old age got up and he came to the Rabbi Seinu, he came to the rabbis of the south. Mishon Alehem, and he started to teach to them. He taught to the Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yesi, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Lezer ben Shamua. But heim heim hamidu teiro eishasho. And these five brought Torah back to the world. Had it not been for these five, then the world could have remained desolate from Torah. So these five returned Torah to the world. So we see that even though Rabbi Akiva had produced 24,000 students in his youth, it was still necessary for him to continue to teach Torah even in his old age. Tano, we learned, Kula Mesa mi Pesach ad Atzeres. They all died during this time, between Pesach and Shavuos. Omer Bechama Barama v'yitem Rebchia Barabin Kula Mesa mi Saro. We also learned that they all died a very horrible death. Mahi, Omer Rav Nachman Askaro. A death which is called Askaro, which is a disease which attacks the throat, and a person cannot swallow, and he cannot speak. So we see that during this time, a tremendous plague came upon the world. And it's not directly linked to the Sefiras HaEmer at all, because the Sefiras HaEmer actually was a very festive time. It was the time of between the going out of Egypt to the giving of the Torah, and it was the time of bringing the first crops to the Beis HaMikdash. So directly linked it's not, but this tragedy took place. The Peskim, many legal authorities bring that during this time of Sefiras HaEmer, other tragedies also took place during history. Many of the decrees and pogroms of Poland and European Jewry and Germany in years back struck during this time. Because of that, so it was a time in later years set aside to be a time of Tzas Aveilus, to show some signs of mourning. And this is brought in the Torah Rechaim, Siman Tov Tzadik Gimel. Therefore, it was the customs of many places that they wouldn't get married during the Sefiras HaEmer. They wouldn't take haircuts. And this is our custom today. The Torah brings that on the 33rd day of the Omer, we did not keep signs of mourning. We did get married and we would take haircuts. There are various sources as to why. Actually, the Gemara itself doesn't mention anything about the 33rd day of the Omer. But it's brought either from the Medrash or in the name of Tosfos that on that day no one died. Some held the whole plague ceased to be on that day. Others held that at least on that day no one died. And therefore, we don't keep any mourning on this day. And the Ramban Shulchan Aruch brings that it's our custom also to be Marbik Sas B'Simcha, to make it also as a little yontif. Where not only do we permit chasanas and permit haircuts, but also we don't say tachnun. It's not a time to say hespedim. And we marbik sas b'simcha. We do a few things to make this day a little different. But it's brought not at night, but only the simcha should be only during the day. And the Vilna Gaon brings a source, because the Gemara in Masechta Tainis says that one of the reasons why the sages declared that the 15th of Av should be a yontif is because that was a time when those who were in the desert And the 40 years of the desert stopped dying. There was a decree that all of them would die between 20 and 60 before they would be allowed to come into Eretz Yisrael. And the decree finally ceased on the 15th of Av. Therefore, they made it as a Ksas Yantiv, as a Yantiv. So therefore, this is a source why we also should make the 33rd day of the Omer also as a somewhat of a Yantif. In later generations, another reason was brought. Why this day should be somewhat of a special day. And that is because it's said that this is the yahrzeit of Reb Shimon ben Yochai, one of the five Talmidim that the Akiva taught Torah to afterwards was Reb Shimon ben Yochai. And Reb Shimon ben Yochai was of the greatest Talmidim of Reb Akiva. And it is said that this is his yahrzeit. Some say also that it was on this day that he went out of the cave. Shimon Yochai and his son Eliezer concealed themselves in a cave for many, many years because the Romans wanted to kill them. And on this day they went out of the cave. So this is another reason why this day is a special day. There's another opinion that's written in the name of the Chidor, that not that it's Shimon ben Yochai's yahrzeit, but it was on this day that Rabbi Akiva started to teach Torah again. That Rabbi Akiva started to reteach Torah to his new Talmidim after the plague. It was on the 33rd day. So, the 33rd day of the event, which is tonight, therefore has special qualities. You see that the plague ceased, and perhaps this is the day when Rabbi Akiva started to reteach Torah. On the yahrzeit of his great Talmid, Reb Shimon ben Yochai, or the day that he went out of the cave. Why is it that this happened during the Sfiras Haemer, if such a great tragedy took place? Why Dafka this time? The Baral Biprag writes in his Nesivas Eilim, in the Siva Torah Perek Yud Beis, and also at the end of the Siva Vasreya, that the two are linked together. They didn't have to, but they are. Because this is the time of Kovod HaTorah, where the Torah rises. Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu give Torah immediately when Klal Yisrael went out of Mitzrayim? So the Medrash tells us, gives an example of a youngster who was very sick. And finally, when the doctor says he's all right now, so his mother says, don't let him go back to school yet. First let him come home and rest and gain his strength back. Then he'll go. So was it with Klal Yisrael. After being so many years in Egypt, not only were they run down physically, but also spiritually. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought them out of Mitzrayim, Cheirus, they were free, but they still were not ready for the giving of the Torah. They needed a convalescent period. So the days between Pesach and Shavuos is the convalescent period. It was the time when Klal Yisrael grew spiritually every day to rise to the moment of the giving of the Torah. And there are 49 days between Pesach and Shavuos, 7 weeks. And the Chazal tell us that there are 45 levels in the world. A until you come to the highest level of the world, which is the 50th level, which is the Shar HaTorah, the gates of the Torah. So these 49 days were the days when Klal Yisrael was rising every day to the level of receiving of the Torah. And not only was Klal Yisrael rising, but the entire world was rising in order to meet the Torah. Because had the entire world not received the Torah, then the world would have been returned to the tale of the veil, to null and void. Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu said in the creation of the world. He made a condition, he made the creation conditional. If Klal Yisrael accepts the Torah, then it will be a creation. If not, Chezeran, Machzerani L'Teyev Aveyu, it will be returned to null and void. So these are days when the entire world rises every day to receive the Torah. Therefore, the honor of the Torah is exceedingly great during this time. The Talmidim of Rebbe Kiva, that were Leinoagu Kovet Zelezer, they did not honor each other. It was not only during this time. Probably it was most of the time. But during this time when they didn't honor each other, when they desecrated Kovet HaTorah, so then the forces in the world rebelled. To desecrate Kovet HaTorah at this time, when the world in Torah is rising between Pesach and Shavuos, this came out to be a great desecration. And in return came this great plague. That's why it took place at this time. The Maral interjects that the plague ceased on the 33rd day. The numerical value of COVID is 32, which means for 32 days the plague lasted. Because since their Aveira, their desecration was in the area of COVID, of giving honor, so they received the punishment for 32 days. On the 33rd day, the plague ceased. Let's spend a little time now speaking a bit about Rebbe Kiva. Since we see that Rebbe Kiva, this whole Sfiras HaEmer, and Lag BaOmer, all centers around Rebbe Kiva and his Talmidim. And this is a time to speak of the Kovet, the Torah, and Rebbe Kiva and his Chaverov. So let's go into a few Gemaras and a few statements of the Chazals referring to Rebbe Kiva and his Chaverim. Rebbe Kiva was not just another Tana, not just another Rabbi of the Mishnah. He was Meyuchad. He was distinguished from all of the other Tanoim, to the point where our rabbis write that Rebbe Kiva was the Rebbe of the Teresh Baal Peh. The oral law, the greatest of all of the Mesedus, the Chochmah of the wisdom that came from the Mishnah, came through the hands of Rebbe Kiva. And also we know that through his Talmud, Rav Shimon Yochai, is probably our greatest sources of the Torah, of the concealed part of the Torah Shebaal Peh, of the Nistar. Probably the greatest source that we have of all of the concealed part of the Torah Shebaal Peh is the Zohar HaKadosh. The Zohar was written by Rav Shimon ben Yochai, his disciple, his Talmud. The fact is, Rebbe Kiva has even been compared to Moshe Rabbeinu. What Moshe Rabbeinu was, so was Rebbe Kiva. And Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the great Novi, the great prophet of Hashem, he gave Torah through prophecy. This Rebbe Kiva gave through expounding the Nebuah, the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu. Where do we have a source for this? This we have in the Gemara in Masechta Menachos. The Gemara brings Daf Chavtes on the base. Omar of Yuram Marav. B'sha Shalom Meisha Lamorim. When Meisha went up to Har Sinai, and there he went up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to receive the Torah, Motzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shiyeshe V'keish Ksorim Le'Asias. He found that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sitting and taking crowns and tying them on to the letters of the Torah. If you look in the Sefer Torah, you will find that the Ksorim, which are called tagging, crowns on the Sefer, on the letters. So Meshi came to ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu, what is the purpose? What is the purpose of these crowns? The Almighty answered that there is a person who is going to live many generations from now, Akiva ben Yosef Shemai, and his name is Akiva the son of Yosef. That he will darshan, he will be able to expound from every little line of the crowns, tilin tilin shal halochos, many 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 halochos. Meisha didn't understand what the crowns were. He understood what the letters were. The Maral writes that the letters which represented the Torah itself, this Meisha understood. But that which went out of the letters, which represented even a higher concept of the actual letters, this Meisha could not penetrate, he could not understand. Therefore he wanted to know, what are these letters? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you will not expound them. But Leisef Kamadeiris, many generations from now there will be a man, and his name will be Akiva ben Yosef, and he will expound them. He will understand and expound things which you cannot. When Meisha heard this, he said, show me this man. So he said, all right, go back in time. Go forward in time. He went and he sat, came into the Beis HaMedrash, and there the Bekiva was darshanin, the Bekiva was teaching. And there were 8 rows of Talmidim. Actually, there's another text that says 18. 18 rows of Talmidim. And Meisha took a seat in the back. He listened to the shir. He listened to the shir and he couldn't understand it. When he heard this, he became quite shaken up. Here, I gave Torah to the world, and everybody is learning my Torah. And I come to hear the shir and I can't understand it. Given she gilad orechod, omrohez talmidim rebbe menaynloch. Finally, at one point, the talmidim challenged the rebbe, Rebbe Kiva, and they asked him, this that you say, where is your source for it? Substantiate it. Omalehan, and the Rebbe Kiva could not give any explanation for this halacha, except just to say, halacha b'eish l'meish mishinai. Is all he could answer is this. This is what we received from Asia. Everything else he was able to explain why. But in this he could not explain. He could just say, this is what Meisha has taught us. When Meisha heard that, the Shashvu died. So Meisha was happy when he heard that. So he sees that they had to come on to him after all. Chozar ubolev ne'akadosh baruch. He went back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he said to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the World, Yesh Lech Odom Kizem HaTaneisin Torah Al Yodai. If you have a man like this, that can understand things that I don't even know what they're all about, so why are you giving Torah through me? give Torah through him?
Amalei shteik. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, be silent. Kach ole b'machshove lefonai. This is what I have decreed. There's some things that are lemala min haseichel, that we cannot understand. This is not for you to understand. Why I chose you and not Rebbe Akiva, this, be silent, this is what I have decreed. Now, Moshe asked him, he said, you showed me this great, great person that will understand Torah more than even I do. Now show me the great reward that he will reap from this. She said, all right, go into time. She went into the generation of Mekiva. Rosh Sheiklin Sore B'Makulin. He saw a tragic, horrible sight. He saw Rebbe Akiva being put to death by the Romans, where they were torturing him, and where they were cutting his skin off with blades of fire. And then he saw them selling his body in the marketplace. So he went back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Amar Lefonav Ribeinu Shel Olam, Zu Torah Vezu Shechorah. He said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is the Torah, this is its reward. Omalei, so he answered, Hashem answered, Shteik, be silent. Kach ola b'machshova lefonai. This is what I have decreed. This is what the Gemara brings. Incidentally, from this Gemara we can learn that we have to try to understand, and we have to try to ask on everything. But we also must realize that there are many things that we cannot find answers for. Here, Moshe, who was the greatest prophet, Kom Novi Eid Kimesha. No other prophet like Moshe. Shara Hashem ponim el ponim, that he spoke to Hashem face to face. Still, on many of his questions, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Shteik, be silent. Kach ola b'machshove lefonai. This is my decree. And this is very important to remember in regards to the great Holocaust that took place. That many people demand to know all of the answers. This is the answer. We don't know the answers. What we can learn, we must learn from it. What we can answer, we must answer. But we cannot answer everything. Zu Torah, Zu Shechorah. Moshe asked, this is the Torah, and this is the reward. But here, Rebbe Akiva, who's supposed to have learned more Torah and understood more Torah than anyone else, and he is tortured to death. Silence. This is my decree, you will never understand it. This is what he said to Moshe Rabbeinu. So how can we understand it? So from this Gemara we see, firstly, the Mekiva was distinguished from all the other Tanoim, the great rabbis of the Mishnah. Secondly, he was to understand even what Moshe Rabbeinu could not understand. And thirdly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a new level in Torah for Rebbe Akiva. Why did he write the crowns, tie the crowns onto the letters of the Torah? Because he said there will be a man in the generations that will expound this. It's not for you. It's for him. This doesn't mean to say that Rebbe Akiva was greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. But it means to say in one aspect, he was able to understand Torah even at a level that Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to. Moshe was the prophet, he was the Novi.
But Rabbi Akiva represented the Chochmah. Moshe, with his nevuah, with his prophecy, could see more than any other person. But Rabbi Akiva, with his Chochmah, with his wisdom, was able to expound more than any other person. And this is the Torah Shebichtav and the Torah Shebaal Peh, the written law and the oral law. So there we have the source. The Medrash also tells us this. The Medrash in Chukas. Osches. States. Dovarach dvorim shle nigla niglu lemesha niglu rebekiva v'chaverav. Things that were not revealed even to Moshe Rabbeinu were revealed to Rabbi Akiva and his group, his circle. V'chol yoko rosa enoi. Kol yoko rosa enoi. That all of the honor and the precious wisdom his eyes saw, zeh Rabbi Akiva v'chaverav. This refers to Rabbi Akiva and his circle. Another such Gemara we have in Masechta Chagiga. Gemara brings, and Daf Yudalid, Tan Rabban, Rabbis taught, Arba Nichnus Lepardis, Nichnus Lepardis. Four entered into the Pardis. A Pardis is an orchard, a vineyard or an orchard. Four went to eat from the orchard. Elohim. These are they, Ben Azai, Ben Zema, Acher, and Rabbi Akiva. Four great rabbis of the Mishnah went to eat from the vineyards and the orchards. Ben Azai, Ben Zema, Acher, and Rabbi Akiva. Ben Azai, Hitzitz, Umeis. Ben Azai looked a little too much, and he saw a little too much. And he died. Ben Zema also looked a little too much. And he saw too much. And Nifka. And he went out of his mind. Acher, Kitzatz Benetios. Acher went and he destroyed the orchard. He cut down the trees. And Rebbe Akiva, Yotze B'Sholom. Rabbi Akiva was the only one who was Nichnas B'Sholem V'Yotze B'Sholem. He went in peace and he came out in peace. What is this referring to? There are different Perushim. Some say that they went up to heaven, all in the Rekia, and so forth. The Rambam learns in Hilchos Yesoriah Torah, Perek Dalet, Perek Daled, the Rambam, goes to explain the different facets of Torah. There's the Torah that we learn, which has to do with the practice of the Tariyag Mitzvahs, the 613 Mitzvahs. For example, the laws of marriage, the laws of Shabbos, laws of Yom Tov, the laws of civil conduct, the laws of the Beis Hamikdash, the laws, agricultural laws of Eretz Yisrael, all the 613 mitzvahs. This is the Mishnah, the Gemara. Then there is another wisdom of the Torah, which deals with the Ma'ase Bereishis, the creation of the world, all the celestial bodies, all the secrets of the universe. That's another facet of Torah. So the Rambam explains all of this. And that, he says, is called Ma'ase Markova or Ma'ase Bereishis. The study of the chariot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the study of the creations of the world. And that's the crown of all wisdoms. And that's what would commonly be referred to. Commonly it's referred to as Kabbalah. It's not a correct term. Because when the Gemara says Kabbalah, it means something completely different. The Gemara says Divrei Kabbalah, it merely means it's something which is written in the Tanakh. But the reason why it was referred to as Kabbalah, because this was something that only a Rebbe was supposed to teach directly to a Talmud. So it was handed down ish mipi ish. But that's the concealed wisdom. So the Rambam writes in Halacha Yud Gimel, Perek Dalet, Inyone arbi prokim elu shebachomesh mitzvahs are elu. These studies which go into understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, this is what the early sages referred to as the pardes, as the orchard. Kemesha Omru, and he quotes the Gemara, Arba Nichnas the pardes. As the Gemara says, four entered into the pardes, into the orchard. So this means he's learning the Gemara that we quoted in Chagiga, four went into the orchard. Four people undertook upon themselves to study and to master the greatest secrets of the Torah. And those four were, the Gemara brings, Ben Azai, and Ben Zema, and Acher, and the Bekiva. They undertook to study and to master the greatest concealed wisdom, light of the Torah. What happened? Something the Gemara tells us, Ben Azai Hitzitz. Ben Azai saw a little too much too soon. Promise. And his soul couldn't take it, and he died. Ben Zema Hitzitz Nifke. Ben Zema also saw a little too much too soon. Benifke. And he went out of his mind. Acher, Kitzis Benetiais. Acher was a great Tana who later on was to become a Kefir and Apicatus. He later on denied HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It had a totally reverse effect on him. But it drove him away from Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rebbe Kiva, Yotze Bishma. Of these four, only the Bekiva came out of the orchard in peace. See, this is how the Rambam learns. And the Rambam tells us further, he states very interestingly, Afal Pisha Gedeli Yisrael Hoyu. Even though these were the greatest of Israel, Hoyu Chachomim Gedelim, and they were very, very wise Chachomim, Lo Kulam Hoyu Behen Keach. Not all of them had the intellectual and the spiritual powers leida ulahasi koladvorim aburin, to understand everything clearly. And if you don't understand Torah clearly, not only that you're wasting your time, it can become very, very dangerous. It's an important principle. The Gemara tells us that Torah is a samu de chayim and samu de musa. Torah is something that can bring life to a person, but can bring chalila, heaven forbid, it can bring death to a person. like a very, very, very powerful drug. Used properly, it says, Lemai Minim, those who use it properly, they go in with their right hand, and they do what they should do, it will bring life to them. Used improperly, Chalila, it will bring death to them. It can totally confuse a person, and drive him away, and drive him to all other things. So the Rambam says that not all of them were capable of understanding all of the secrets of Hashem. And therefore, this is what happened. Bani Omer, the Rambam writes, and I say, Shein Roi L'tayel B'Pardes. He says, why did the Chazal call it a Pardes? Why did they call it an orchard? He says, because when do you take a walk into the orchard, into the garden, to take some fruit? He says, Elamish and Ismale Kreisel Lechem U'Bosor. When you sit down for a meal, so they feed, the meal is with bread and meat. After the meal, then you walk into the garden to take a fruit. This is why the Chazal called it a pardes. When you have filled your stomach with the bread and the meat of the Torah, then it's time to go into the garden to taste from the fruits of the other wisdoms of the Torah. The lechem u'bosu hu leida ha'osev ha'amuter k'yetzav ha'mishar ha'mitzvus. What's the lechem u'bosu? The bread and the meat. The bread and the meat is to know the six. Shariyom ha'chomim dava godl ma'isim ha'kovet dava kodna vayis dabai varov. And even though the sages refer to the first study, which is the Mishnah and the Gemara, as dava kodn, as something small, the Rambam here is referring to Gemara in Bava Kama and Masech Tesukah. But the Gemara says, Hillel, the great Hillel, had 80 Talmidim, 80 great students. Godel Sheba Kulam, the greatest. Kulam, all of them was Roy that the Shechinah should rest on them. Godel Sheba Kulam, the greatest, was Yehengsen Ben Uziel. Godel Sheba Kulam, the smallest one, was Rabbi Yehem Ben Zakkai. And the Gemara says, when Rabbi Yehengsen Ben Uziel would sit and learn, so there would be a fire, see, of a bird, a fire over him. And any bird that would fly over when he was sitting giving a shear, that bird would be nisnaf, would burn. And then it states, you want to know how great Yehonas ben Uziel was? So let's see how great the smallest disciple of Hillel was, Rabbi Yehonas ben Zakkai. So it mentions Rabbi Yehonas ben Zakkai, la'iniach dover, he didn't leave anything over from the Mishnah, from the Gemara, from Halachos, from Haggadahs, everything he learned. Many things are mentioned that he learned, that even Rashi, HaKadosh writes, he doesn't know what it is. Didn't leave anything over. Then it states that he learned Dover Kotten and Dover Godel. He learned the small wisdom and the great wisdom. The Gemara says, what's the small wisdom? The small wisdom of Abayi Rabbi Rova. These are discussions of Abayi Rabbi Rova. The Gemara. The great wisdoms is the Maisa Bereishis or Maisa Merkava. This is the Kabbalah, the Sisrei Torah. So the Rambam here writes, even though the Chazal refer to the Mishnah and the Gemara as the Dover Kotten, Afal Pikein, Ruin Hein Lagdim, and one should think, if I have a chance to learn, let me go to the Dover Godel first. He says, no. That you must learn first. Now we must understand here also, all the Mephoshim say that we're speaking purely on a comparative basis. Not that Cholila, that the Talmud is a Dover Kot. It's the greatest wisdom that ever came into the world. And if a person would learn a thousand years, he would still have plenty to learn from it. But it means in comparison to the other wisdom, it is called a Dover Kot. So he says, Afal Pikein Roin Hein Lagdim. Still, it's right for a person that first he must learn that. Shehein miyashvin daiter shalodim tchilo. Because they build a person. This wisdom builds a person. It gives them a strong foundation. For example, you have a child. A child is born. First he learns how to sit, and then he learns how to stand, and then he learns how to walk, and then he learns how to run. not all of a sudden, as soon as he's born, does he start specializing in university. He has to build a foundation first. And this is the Derech Kol HaElam, this is the way of the entire world. When you build a superstructure, man wants to build a superstructure, he wants to build a building higher than Empire State Building. Does he start with the 100th floor, or does he start with the foundation? A fool will say, well, I'll start with the 100th floor and we'll make it higher. But the Chochem, he knows that if he wants to build the building higher than the Empire State Building, then the foundation is going to have to be stronger than the Empire State Building. ועוד שהם הטוב הגדלו שהשפיע הקודם ברוך לאישו ואילם. And also that this wisdom, the wisdom of the Mishnah, the Gemara, this is the wisdom which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to the world to settle the world, and also for the person in order to learn all of the mitzvahs kedei linchuch ha'ilam abo, in order that he could through this inherit the world to come. Now here the Rambam says something very interesting. Ef sheshiyodim akol. He says, when it comes to Mishnah Gemara, when it comes to the Sisrei Torah, to the Kabbalah, not everyone can understand it. When it comes to Mishnah Gemara, he says, everyone can understand it. Koton v'godl, a youngster, an older person, ish v'isha, a man or a woman, balev rochev, balev kotzev, someone who's very wise and someone who's not so clever. He says, everyone can understand Mishnah Gemara. He says, that's why the Chazal called it the Pardes. After you've had the meal of lechem u'bosor, bread and meat, then it's time to walk into the garden to pick some of the delicious fruits. But someone who nourishes himself only on the delicious fruits of the paradise of the garden is going to get into trouble. And therefore, arba nichnasu l'paradise, four went into the paradise. They undertook upon themselves to go through all of the secrets of the Torah. One saw too much, he died. The other one also saw too much, he went out of his mind. One turned against the Torah and went and destroyed the garden. And the Bekiva Yotze B'Shalom. Bekiva went out in peace. Here we see again the Shleimus, the perfection of the Bekiva. They're not only in the Mishnah, in the Gemara, in the Nigla, but in the entire Nistar. Now, the great enigma, the great wonder of Rabbi Kiva was Tchilosei Shel Rabbi Kiva, the beginning of Rabbi Kiva. In Ovis de Rabnosim, the Ovis de Rabnosim tries to understand, if a person came to the height of Rabbi Kiva, what was the secret of his success? Why did he reach that height and other people not? What was the secret of his success? So Ovis de Rabnosim writes in Perek Shishi, Os Beis, the Mishnah says that you should sit by the dust of the feet of the Chachomim when you learn from them. Zeh Reb Lezer. The epitome of this was Reb Lezer. You should drink in all of their words with thirst. Zeh Reb Akiva. The epitome of this was Reb Akiva. If you want to know the secret of the success of Reb Akiva, it was Sheiseh B'Tzomei Es Divreihem, that he drank the words of the wise with a never-ending thirst. This was his greatness. His yearning for learning, his yearning for Torah, his thirst to the knowledge of Hashem, was greater than anyone else. That's why he became greater than anyone else. Mahayot Hilosi Shirabi Kiva. What was the beginnings of this man? Omru, they said, Don Argoim Shonahoyo. He was 40 years old, Le Shona Klur. And he never learned anything. Panachas Oyaimir Alti Aber. One day he was standing by the well. Omar Michoka Kevinze. He said, who hewed out this stone? There was a stone which was a flat stone. Who made it flat? Omru, they said, Lahamayim Shetodin Neiflim Alel Bechol Yeim. Isn't it the water that always that falls on it every day? Immediately Rabbi Kiva made a kal v'chomer for himself. Marach posles hakosher. The stone is hard and water is soft, but still you see tamid is constant, never ending, without interruption. The water which is soft can wear down the stone which is hard. Divrei Torah shekosher kevazel. So therefore, Torah which is hard, because it states that Torah is like steel. Allah has come and come as yichaku as libi. How much more so can it wear down and smoothen out the heart, my heart, or the heart of man? Shehu bosom adom. Miyad chozer lilmei Torah. He decided he will go and learn Torah. He went and learned Torah, and the Chazal tell us. He went to learn Aleph Beis. Then he learned how to read. And then he learned Chumash. And then he learned Mishnah. Until finally he became the great Rabbi Kiva. He was very, very poor. B'chol yom v'yom hayom mevi chavilo shel tevin. Every day he used to bring home a bundle of straw. Half of the bundle he would sell, and that's how he made a living. And the other half he used for himself. His neighbors came and they said, why don't you buy oil? Instead of using the straw for fire, he would use the straw and the wood for firewood, and it makes all kind of smoke. Buy oil. Get an oil lamp or candles and learn by the candles. So he said, no, harbe sipukim ani mistapik bahen. The straw and the wood is better because I can do a lot of things with that. First of all, I can learn by it. I light a fire and I can learn. Secondly, it keeps me warm. And thirdly, I use it for a bed. Osid Rabbi Kiva lachayim eskolani imedin. Now Rabbi Kiva will be the answer to all poor people who claim that they couldn't learn Torah because they didn't have money. See, many people say, if I would be rich, I would also learn. If I wouldn't be so poor and I wouldn't have to work so hard, I also would learn. If I would have a rich father, if I would have a rich father-in-law, if I would have a rich wife, say, no, I also would be a great Lamedin. So the Rabbi Kiva will be the answer to all of that. Why? Because anyone who claims that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, V'halei Rabbi Kiva oni b'yeser. There was no one as poor as Rabbi Kiva. If they'll answer, and they'll say, Mimnei tapenu, well, we couldn't learn Torah because not only we were poor, but also we had children to take care of. Rabbi Kiva will be the answer to that also. Shohei le'bonim u'bonis, because Rabbi Kiva had sons and daughters. Also being so poor and still he learned. But then the officer of Nosson says that Rabbi Kiva will not be an answer to everyone. Rabbi Kiva had something that others didn't have. They will say unto Rabbi Kiva, Ela emrim lahem mipnei shezochso rochel ishtoi. You had a wife not like we, who was of greater quality than ours. You had Rochel. Now, if Rabbi Kiva came to the position that he held, even greater than Moshe Rabbeinu, then his wife also must have been. Ishtei k'Moshe, his wife must have also been of such stature. So we'll come to that in a minute. Then the Ovis of Reb Nosson states, Ben Mem Shono Holach Lil Mei Torah. When he was 40 years old, he went to study Torah. Seif Shleishes Reishona Lima Torah Barabim. After 13 years, he taught Torah to thousands. Omru Le Nifter Mina Elam Atche Hoyu Le Shulchoni Shul Kesev Shul Zov. The Mishnah states, Kol Aleim Torah Mi Aini Seif Lil Mei Meish. Whoever studies Torah in poverty, the end will be that he'll study Torah amidst wealth. This was fulfilled with Rabbi Kiva. He did not leave the world until he had tables of silver and tables of gold. And until he was able to walk up to his bed through a ladder of gold. And his wife Rochel eventually went out into the streets in the Kadomim that was in lavish robes, kingly robes, Ubi'ir Shel Zov, and with a city of gold. What was a city of gold? That was a crown, a large crown made out of gold in the shape of a map of Yerushalayim. Omru Lei Talmido Rebbe Ba'ishteni Ba'ishtonu Mimasho Sisalo. The Talmidim came to complain to the Bekiva. He said that you're putting us in an embarrassing situation by giving your wife Rachel that crown of gold, because our wives also want it and we can't afford it. So you should tell her not to wear it. Omru Lehem Har Beit Sar Nitztara Imi B'Tora. And the Bekiva said no. She must wear it because she gave up and she suffered much together with me for Torah. And the Gemara brings about Rachel in Ksubis and in Nedarim. We'll quote from Ksubis. It's in Ksubis and in Ksubis in Samach Gimel and in Nedarim Daf Nun. The Samach Beis on the Beis. Rabbi Kiva read ben Kalba Savua Hava. Rabbi Kiva was a shepherd of Kalba Savua. Rashi tells us Kalba Savua was one of the Ashiri Yerushalayim, one of the wealthiest men in Yerushalayim. She called Anichnas Lebesei Rov Kikelev Hayyetzi Sova. He was called Kalba Savua, which means, Kalba means a dog, and Savua means totally satisfied. Whoever entered into his house as hungry as a dog left it totally satisfied. So wealthy was Kalba Savua that when it came during the time of the Romans and the siege of Yerushalayim, so Kalba Savua says that I have enough food in my warehouses to hold out the entire city, and the city must have been with multitudes, see? Could have been millions, to hold out the entire city for 3 years. So this is how wealthy he was. So Rabbi Kiva was a shepherd of Kalba Savua. Havachazise Barta David Sniu Male. Kalba Savua's daughter, Rochel, saw that he was Sniu Male. He saw he was a Tsanua. Tsanua means he was a modest person. He was a modest, private person. Tsanua. He wasn't a person that was boisterous and always talked a lot, and his mind was in everybody else's business all the time. He was a tzanua, very modest, private, quiet person, umali, and a good person. Now Tesis asked the kasha. The Gemara Sochim states that Rabbi Kiva said on himself, Kishor Yisi Amoritzis, even later years said that when I was an ignorant person, I said I hated Talmidei Chachamim so much that I said that if I had the opportunity, I would kill them. So he says that he hated Talmidei Chachomim because he felt that the Talmidei Chachomim hated him. Because he felt that they were arrogant. There was a class distinction, since Rabbi Akiva was such an ignorant person and they were Talmidei Chachomim, he felt there was a class distinction, therefore he hated them. But at the same time, don't think that he, when he was an Amoritz, he had all of the coarse qualities of an Amoritz. He didn't. He was a shomer mitzvahs. He was an upright person. He was an honest person. He was a good person, a very good person. Very, very good qualities. Except he was ignorant of Torah. And these qualities Rochel saw. See, the Gemara says. She saw in him great, great qualities. She saw in him qualities of greatness, even though he was totally ignorant. Qualities of tznius and of mali. Upright and good. Omrulei, so she said, Imekat shona l'cho, azlid l'beirav. She said, if I marry you, will you go to learn? Omar la ein. She said, yes. Iktasholo b'tzine. So they got married secretly, because the father won't allow it. Here, Kalbasavua was the greatest in Yerushalayim. He was holding out for the best of Yerushalayim. Not an ignorant shepherd. So they married secretly, and she sent him off to Yeshiva. Shoma Abua, when her father heard this, Afko mi beso, he drove her out of the house. Adro hano min etzefa, and he went and he took a vow, he took a neder, that she will never inherit or be able to have any benefit or pleasure from all of his riches. This is how angry, how cross he was. Also, Yosef Trei Sori Shnin Bebeverav. Actually, the Gemara in the Dorim adds here something, that they were very, very poor. They had to run away, and they were very poor. So, they used to sleep on straw. Every morning when Rachel would get up, so she had a big job, she had to pick all the straw out of her hair, the Gemara says. So Rabbi Akiva then told her, he says, one day when I'll be wealthy, if I'm wealthy, I'll buy you an Ir Shel Zov. I'll get you a crown of gold of the map of Yerushalayim for your head. Yosef Tresor Isnin Bebeirav. He went and he sat for 12 years in Yeshiva. By Rebbe. Ki Osa Aise Bahadei Tresor Alpi Talmidei. After 12 years, he decided to come back home. It doesn't, from the Gemara, it seems that immediately he went away. From other sources, it's not true. Other sources is that he didn't immediately go away, because it seems that he stayed for a while and they had children. He learned locally. And only later did he go away for 12 years. 12 years later, he came back. And he came with 12,000 Talmidim. Shamalahu Saba, the Komalo, as he was coming to the door, he heard an old man was telling his wife Rochel, Ad Kama Komad Beres Almonis Chayim. Gemara Nedorim elaborates a little more that what a foolish thing you did. You married someone that is not at all from your social level, an ignorant person, a poor person. And here he's deserted you. For 12 years you haven't seen him. For 12 years you're a widow whose husband is alive. And you should have listened to your father. Yosef Tresor Ishni Achrina. So she said, if he would listen to me, if he would ask me and listen to me, I would tell him to stay for another 12 years. And Rabbi Akiva had heard that. So he said, Omer Bishuska Avigna. He says, she's giving me permission to go back for another 12 years. Hodu Oswal. So he went back. Yosef Trei Sori Shni Achrini. He stayed for a second 12 years. Bebeirav Ki Osa Aisi Bahade Esrin Va Arba Alfi Talmidei. When he came back, this time he came back with 24,000 students.
Now you can imagine Rabbi Akiva coming back to Yerushalayim with 24,000 students and with the reputation. It's not the Gemara where someone once met Rabbi Akiva, so he said, Akiva. Are you the Akiva ben Yosef that your name goes from one end of the world to the other? So he came back with 24,000 students. Imagine coming into Yerushalayim with such masses and with such a reputation. Shoma deVisiu. So his wife heard that he's returning. Havakol nafkel ape. So she went, ran out to meet him. Omru lei shivavose. Shali monei levushe vichsasi. Her neighbor said, don't go like that. Go borrow some garments, some beautiful garments, some royal garments, beautiful garments, to go out to meet the great Rabbi Akiva. You cannot go in rags. Omru lei yedei tzadik nefesh b'emta. She said, no, Rabbi Akiva will understand. She pushed herself through the crowds and through all the Talmidim, and she went and she threw herself at the feet of Rabbi Akiva, komanashkele lekare, and she kissed the robe, the hem of the robe of his gown. So Rabbi Akiva's servants and those who were escorting his immediate circle around him, they saw a lady come in rags and throw herself at his feet. He started to push her away. So the Rekiva said, O Maluhu Shafkua, Lever, Shali Ushalachem Shalohu. What is mine and what is yours all belongs to her. Rashi says, Torah Shalamadati Ani Ushalamadate Matem Al Yodohu. All of the Torah which I have studied and which I have taught to you is all because of her. So in other words, we're saying that this great Madrega of Torah, that Rabbi Akiva was Derish Ksorim, he was Derish the crowns of the Torah greater than Moshe Rabbeinu, that Torah Rabbi Akiva said belongs to Rochel. That's Rochel's. So that's what Ovid Ben Nosson said, that Rabbi Akiva won't be able to be Machal the Anim. So he won't be able to answer the Anim. Because they'll say, no, you had Rochel. So and on that he won't have a tshuva. He won't be able to answer. Shoma Abu Adosa Gavar Abu Lamasa. Her father, who meanwhile had not had communication with them for 24 years or whatever it was, he heard of this great Rabbi Akiva. He didn't know who he was. He never dreamt this was the ignorant shepherd. He heard of the great Rabbi Akiva coming to town. So he said, Omar Ezel Gabe Efshad Befa Nidroi. Let me go to him. Perhaps he will be able to nullify the vow I made. Because he had charot, he wanted to nullify the vow. Evidently he couldn't find anyone else to do it all this time. See, here he hears that such a great person is coming who's greater than all of the other sages. So he said, I'll go to him, maybe he will be able to nullify it for me. Also Lagabe, so he went to him. And the Bekiva knew who he was. So he said, Omale, he said to him, see, the deen is that if a neder, if a vow is made betos, erroneously, then it's not a vow. He said, Adaitin gavra omarabha mina dato. When you took a vow, disinheriting your daughter, because she married someone that you didn't want, had you known that he would become a great man in Torah, would you have still made the vow? So Kabbalah Shavua said, Chas v'sholom, afilo perek echod, afilo halocha achas. Is the man knew even one perek or one halocha? He says he was such an amoret that even one perek and one halocha he didn't know. If he knew one perek or one halocha, he would have never made the vow. So on that, Omalei, so Rabbi Akiva said, Anohu, I am the one who married your daughter Rochel. And he heard Rabbi Akiva. Shesimcha elech v'seif elem anseifei. Nofal al ape, he fell down with nashke yakare, and he kissed the hem of his robe. The yoiv le palgam avena, and immediately he gave to the Akiva half of all of his estates, half of his wealth. That's what the Ovis Reb Nosson says: le nifter min ha'elam, Rabbi Akiva did not leave this world until he had tables of gold and silver. The secret of the success of the Akiva was heavy sheise as divrehem betzomei.
you should drink from their words with thirst, Zura Bekiva. This Zura Bekiva. There was no one who drank from the words of the Chazal with thirst like Rebbe Kiva. Now, as Rebbe Nosson says, this means a Chocham comes to town, it says, no one learned Torah by. Whenever you're in the presence of a Chocham, go and drink all of his words with thirst. This was Rebbe Kiva. The Maral and the Mishnah of Heavy Mamai Basic, Vasek Tetera, that you should minimize your Asik and you should spend your time in Torah. Or whoever studies Torah when he's poor will then study Torah in the wealth. He writes that a person should know that when we say Talmud Torah shokul kineged kulam, the Talmud Torah is equal to all of the other mitzvahs of the Torah, doesn't mean all of Shas is equal to all of the other mitzvahs of the Torah. He says, Afilu dover echod min ha-Torah. Even one word of Torah is equal to all of the other mitzvahs of the Torah. One word of Torah. Because Torah is perfect. One word of Torah also is perfect. One thought of Torah. And many people who they think you have to learn quantity, you have to learn quality. This is true. But to learn something simple, no, they don't have patience for that. Say, don't have patience for it. That's not heavy shesis divrehem etzomei. When you know that one word of Torah is equal to the entire world, that's what it means, Talmud Torah shokel keneged kulam, the Torah equals all the entire world. Then you understand what Torah is. They say over in the name of Rabbi Yitzchok Elchon, one of the greatest rabbonim that Litter produced 100 years ago, was Rabbi Yitzchok Elchon, who was the accepted posek authority of the entire world. Final decision. They would write to Rabbi Yitzchok Elchon. And his memory was fabulous. He could cite literally hundreds of sources to substantiate his psaka laws. So they once told him, your memory is unbelievable. So he answered, no, not true. I don't have such a good memory. He says, I'll give you an example. Go into a shop, a grocery shop. How many items does it have? 1,000 items, 2,000 items, 3,000 items. You go to the shopkeeper and you ask him, how much does this cost? You expect an answer. You don't expect him to say, I forgot. Now the shopkeeper, what is he? Is he a doctor, a graduate of the University of Berlin? Yeah. Is he a world-renowned scientist? He's a simple shopkeeper. Yet you expect him to know the price of everything in a shop. And he does. Why? Because Yedizach Geta Rein and Levin. Because every item his life depends on. That's his parnosa, that's his life. He knows that if he'll undercharge on a project or an overcharge on a project, it can be his parnosa. He says, I don't have a good memory. But every word of Torah, that's my life. He says, that's why I don't forget anything. It's not a question of memories. It's not a question of machinery. That's good for computers. It's a question of how much one is willing to give his life for it. By the Bekiva, every word was his life. It's an interesting Mishnah, Mesechta Edges. I believe it was with Reb Tarfon. Reb Tarfon and the Bekiva were arguing. And the Reb Tarfon said something, and the Bekiva answered it. And then Reb Tarfon challenged it again, and Reb Kiva answered it. Reb Tarfon challenged it again, and Reb Kiva answered it. Finally, Reb Tarfon said, "Akiva, kol ha-perish mimeko, kilu perish mirachai." Whoever removes himself from your presence is this, if he's removing himself from life. This must be one's approach to Torah. that whoever removes himself from the presence of Torah, or from the presence of a Chochem, from the presence of someone who can teach him Torah, he should know, you are removing yourself from life. Because to Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Chaim, Torah was not Torah. Torah was Chaim, it was life. Every word was a breath of life. And this is how the Tchilosish of Rabbi Kiva came from being the shepherd of Kalmus Savur through the inspiration of Rochel. She said, if you'll go learn, if I marry you, will you go learn? To the point where Moshe Rabbeinu said, show me that man. I want to see that man. If you have a man like that, why are you giving Torah to me? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, shtek, be silent. All of the machshava lefonai. This is my decree. And therefore the Bekiva said, you produce Talmidim in your youth, you must produce Talmidim in your old age. Because you don't know what might happen. Rabbi Kiva, who came to the greatest heights in his Talmidim also, by not giving proper kovod, they did not react this way. Evidently, they were not conducting themselves, said every word of Torah by every person is life. Therefore came this great tragedy. We should be zecher, especially tonight like Bayman, which was the time that the decree ceased. So evidently the day has wonderful qualities in it, that we should be zecher to rise up to the heights of Torah and preparing for Matan Torah, and to be zecher to the great light of Torah that Rabbi Kiva and his Talmidim brought into the world.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.